Let's read this next do line. And it is called Agnew Agonistes. Now, there was a famous poem by T.S. Eliot called Sweeney Agonistes. And I think it was unfinished. It was going to be a play or something. So McLuhan is projecting the Eliot oeuvre, the Eliot work, onto Spiro Agnew, who was vice president at the time for Richard Nixon and became quite controversial because he put down all the media, pointy-headed intellectuals in the media. The beginnings of the talking head reality were starting to show up, and a hardware mafia guy like Agnew, he couldn't take it. Who are these pointy-headed bag jobs that are commenting and ruling the opinion shaping? I think he was. I said mafia. I think he had a tough background, a suspect background that Mae Brussels used to go into, and he later wrote a book because he was forced out in 73 or so, and that started to be part of the Watergate scandals. But he wrote a book in the 80s talking about the conspiracy that of the elites that moved him out. He wrote a conspiracy book explaining why he got kicked out. He blamed it on some cabal. So they have a seal here. The President of the United States, seal of the President of the United States, with the NBC peacock in the middle of it. So McLuhan takes the presidential seal and puts a TV logo in the middle of it. And this is called the McLuhan Do Line, Volume 2, Number 4, January-February 1970. So it says, Agnew Agonistes in big letters, then underneath in smaller letters, but still pretty big, while the entire Western world is going east, east is in quotes, and inwards, that's in brackets, by means of electric circuitry, the entire Eastern world is moving west, west is in quotes, and in brackets, and outwards, by means of the specialist hardware that created the West. So while the entire Western world is going east, by means of electric circuitry, the entire Eastern world, that's Vietnam, China, is moving west by means of the specialist hardware that created the West. So that's the cover page. Then you go inside, and there's different paragraphs with different types of type font. Not too radically different, but at least some are lighter or darker. So it says, between those massive and complementary mutations, so I think he means the west going east and east going west, because this is the first statement after that on the next page. Between those massive and complementary mutations, there exist many millions of backward people, backward in quotes, who are being torn in both directions. The Negro is the example we know best. So there's our brothers being torn in both directions, east and west, Bert. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to create violence or create frustration. Then he says, in an age of retribalizing, in brackets, just when the world is about to become his oyster, so he's talking about the Negro. In an age of retribalizing, just when the world is about to become his oyster, he's starting to get a beachhead into the industrial universities and getting into a viable economic lifestyle, he is being invited to detribalize and to acquire all the specialist and individual skills and goals of the vanishing Westerner. So the black was asked to become a Westerner right when the Westerners were abandoning being a Westerner. That's the conflict for the African American. In the age of retribalizing, he is being invited to detribalize, you know, to acquire the subculture of literacy, and to acquire all the specialist and individual skills and goals of the vanishing Westerner. So, next paragraph. Just when the computer is programming our world to bits, yes, no, in brackets, just when the computer is programming our world to bits, yes, no, we begin to seek for integral lives of deep involvement. For Spiro Agnew to draw a bead on such a world has at least served to point out the degree of misunderstanding and universal unawareness of causes operative in the entire situation. As vice president, Agnew enjoys, indeed, a certain detachment, a location in an alternative environment, adjacent to that of the chief executive, which gives him opportunities of perception not available to the more directly participant areas of interface and transformation. So McLuhan's coming up with the original idea that the vice president is the anti-environment to the president. off to the side, he can see what's going on. Right? He enjoys a certain detachment. A certain detachment, a location in an alternative environment adjacent to that of the chief executive, which gives him opportunities of perception not available to the more directly participant areas of interface and transformation. It may be relevant or not to point to the word agnize, A-G-N-I-Z-E, to point to the word agnize as from the Greek to perceive. And Agnew was a Greek himself. As a Greek, Agnew has assumed the role of probe or spearhead. As one who is questing for meaning, there's a good deal of agon and suffering in this process, which is inseparable from the action of creating an image of identity. So he's saying Spiro Agnew is acting out in an identity crisis and becoming an artist in art form and any environment in the process. Now, you know, anybody who read or knew of Agnew and the normal put-downs of him, they would think McLuhan's absolutely nuts saying this. that the vice president Agnew, this dumb guy, was actually being a very interesting probe. But Marshall knew what he was doing. He was satirizing you, the reader of this document, where you would be shocked at what he was saying. Perfectly designed by McLuhan. Then McLuhan says on the next page, by drawing attention to the abrasive interface between the contrasted areas of press and electric media, Agnew has brought to general attention the fact that all, quote, news, unquote, all, quote, news, unquote, Agnew has brought to general attention the fact that all news is something made and shaped by a wide variety of agencies. Then it has a square with black background. It says, making news, in quotes, making news is no more a private activity than photography. There is a familiar saying, quote, you cannot commit photography alone, unquote. You cannot commit photography alone. Next paragraph. Quite apart from reporting and editing, printed news takes on a variety of characteristics merely from the speed with which it is gathered and presented. In brackets, the Japanese find our concept of news quite inscrutable. In the 18th century days of the spectator and the tattler, the very nature of news, as the word spectator suggests, implied a certain detachment. The more rapidly news can be gathered and presented, the more detachment yields to involvement, until the telegraph press creates an inclusive mosaic image of the world under a single dateline. Just like Ulysses by Joyce, under a single dateline. So, McLuhan is all for advocating detachment, but when people become detached by programmed locations in the White House, he kind of tries to out-detach their detachment and make fun of them. The word spectator suggests implies a certain detachment. Then Marshall makes this pattern. The more rapidly news can be gathered and presented, the more detachment yields to involvement, until the telegraph press creates an inclusive mosaic image of the world under a single dateline. So as McLuhan was watching people become more and more involved, more emotionally outraged at everything, taking everything personally, he is providing an alternative detached view. He's retrieved the book, the print page, to take advantage of its detached effect, to make very detaching statements. You get that? To make very detaching statements. Next paragraph. Perhaps newsmen, more than anybody, fail to recognize that their discontinuous mosaic form of montage is much more involving than the continuous editorial comment. Even more important than the news itself is the vast, quote, silent majority, unquote, of news items, the silent majority of news items, which we call ads, that pay for the newspaper itself. So there's early Android meme things. He's saying that the human beings, the silent majority, are replaced by the silent majority of the unnoticed ads, the endless advertising in all the media back then.
Yeah.
So he's calling them the technology of silent majority. So there's a little hint of tetrad management there, a little bit of awareness of Dobstown by McLuhan. And then he says, ads are all good news, threatening daily changes to our way of life that would improve us beyond all recognition. Such persistent and innumerable threats to our community and integrity require great floods of bad news to make them bearable or saleable. So this is his famous pattern of good news versus bad news, advertising is good news. People don't like good news because it upsets them and demands that they buy the stuff and change. So they like a lot of doom and gloom news, the bad news. So that's why everybody thinks it's the end of the world. It's a media dynamic where a lot of bad news is thrown at people because the people can't take the good news. But a very profound thought there, Bert.
Yes. Then, and he's pointing that out in 70. Then a lot of people probably thought he was insane when he pointed when they read this due line because it was so far out of their perception.
That's right. They didn't understand what his motive was.
Yeah.
They couldn't give a frame to it. So the next quote, darker letters. We need only open a trade journal, in brackets, in which there is nothing but ads, to sense the importance of bad news as providing the upsurge of survivor emotion necessary to keep the audience afloat amidst a barrage of menacing promises or menacing ads. We need only open a trade journal in which there is nothing but ads to sense the importance of bad news as providing the upsurge of survivor emotion necessary to keep the audience afloat amidst a barrage of menacing promises. See, Carol? Mike Adams putting out bad news all the time? Hey! She wasn't listening. This thing about bad news and good news, Mike Adams doesn't know that he's serving a somnambulistic, comforting thing by giving bad news to people and because they need to be comforted because there's too much good news or advertising threatening their identity. So Mike Adams thinks he's exposing stuff. No, he's just supporting the feel-good, do-nothing reality by just emphasizing bad news.
Yeah, and they get the survivor mentality, but they also get paranoid and fearful.
That's right. I'll read you this. We need only open a trade journal in which there is nothing but ads to sense the importance of bad news as providing the upsurge of survivor emotion necessary to keep the audience afloat amidst a barrage of menacing promises, menacing good news, menacing
ads. You are, Bob. You're a menacing promise.
Well, I'm many things, Carol. You know, let's not limit me to one disadvantage. Yeah. Hey, Carol, you came in with a survivor emotion. You didn't hear me read this, did you?
No.
You knew about the survivor emotion.
I know, Bob.
She knows, Bert. You know, you know, we're doing this, and I've got all the muted guys open. I mean, they haven't made a sound, but it's incredible that I leave ourselves vulnerable. Oh, I know why. The thing is disconnected, broken. So let's see. I can renew it and then mute everybody if it comes up.
Anyone else there? I guess everyone else is on mute. Bob.
Hey, Bert.
Hey, Madeline. How's it going?
Oh, look at that. I'm not muted. Hey. Nothing. I was just I have absolutely nothing to say. I was just checking if you're the only one on. Bob's gone to
okay.
The world again. Hey, Bob.
It happens every 4 hours. Our phone gets disconnected
right
on the dot. Yeah, so, Bert, what did I miss? Anything?
Nope.
No, Madeline just discovered she was not on mute.
Okay, right when I was going to mute everybody. But we're going to mute everybody, Madeline. You're not allowed to muddy up this with dishwashing and noise-making that you're inclined to do. All right? We're trying to make a nice recording. Oh, you agree with that, Madeline? You support us?
I'm on mute, Bob. Well, sorry. Yeah,
okay.
I'm muting again.
All right. I'm muting everybody. Okay, Bert, here we go. We did that one, the barrage of menacing promises. Carol thinks that's autobiographical. The next paragraph. It is in no spirit of cynical asperity, A-S-P-E-R-I-T-I, It is in no spirit of cynical asperity that I point out. Look, he puts the word I. He doesn't use the word I. So he's claiming he's not a cynic. It is in no spirit of cynical asperity that I point out that the Vietnam War is as indispensable to the expanding hardware of the industrial establishment as it is to the world of information and software that spins the rims of the wheels of fashion and sales alike. In brackets, let us suppose that the TV meeting were to devote 15 minutes a day to the activities of the meatpacking plants. The effects on the emotional life of the population would be no more surprising than the daily scenes from Vietnam. There might be a wave of protest against the means we use in supplying our tables with the most ordinary daily fare. There might even be a protest group to match the Vietnam moratorium group. So he's talking about how people, if you see that many bad news items, you're going to get mad and lead a protest movement. So, Bert, can you look up asperity quickly? I'm not by my computer. A-S-P-E-R-I-T-I-I-T-Y. Did Bert get knocked off? I go back over. Where are you, Bert? You didn't get knocked off. Well, I'll renew, see what happens. Refresh. There's sounds coming out of your phone, Bert, but we're not hearing it. Broken, Bert. Well, I guess I'm just going to have to go forward myself. But we need reactions. Bert, you got all kinds of sound coming out, but we're not hearing anything. Why? Maybe I'll have to let Madeline in. I got to have someone to talk to, right? Bert screwed up. Okay, Madeline, I'm bringing you in. You can grunt responses.
All right, Bob.
To me.
Okay, but I'm going to have to start now. I missed that last part because there's chaos in my house, which is why I keep muting.
Right. So you're saying you have to, I have to do something?
Well, I can't respond to what you just said, but I can respond to the next thing.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to repeat. You're not on the computer, are you? Can you look up the word asperity, A-S-P-E-R-I-T-Y?
I'll see if I can.
A-S-P-E-R-I-T-Y. Well, I'll do it myself.
Yeah,
watch,
I don't know.
Fast.
Yeah, my signal is weak, so it's taking forever to load.
Okay, asperity. It means harshness of tone or manner. Okay, harshness of tone or manner. So, cynical harshness. It is in no spirit of cynical harshness or asperity that I point out that the Vietnam War is as indispensable to the expanding hardware of the industrial establishment as it is to the world of information and software that spins the rims of the wheels of fashion and sales alike. In brackets, let us suppose that the TV medium were to devote 15 minutes a day to the activities of the meatpacking plants. The effects on the emotional life of the population would be no more surprising than the daily scenes from Vietnam. There might be a wave of protest against the means we use in supplying our tables with the most ordinary daily fare. There might be a wave of protest against the means we use, you know, in killing meat, we use in supplying our tables with the most ordinary daily fare. There might even be a protest group to match the Vietnam moratorium group. And that moratorium protest was the big one in the middle of October that I was talking about that Cosmic Awareness discussed. Okay, because this is being written in late 69.
Why is he writing about meat?
Meat packing plants. Documentaries about how bad the slaughter of animals are for our meat.
Yes, but why is that? Why is he including that in?
Because he says it's the same thing as people watching the body count every day in the Vietnam footage on the news.
And this was written when? Because nobody gives a shit about the meat packing, really.
Not now. This is written almost 50 years ago. Half a century ago.
Yeah, and it did become widespread knowledge, but nobody
cared.
I mean, like some fringe elements cared and protested and whatnot, but not much.
That's right.
Anyway.
Americans are not inclined to become vegetarians. Right? Wrong?
No, yeah, right. Yeah, they're not going to give up their convenience and pleasure.
Right, and Ian says Ian is for the meat eaters. He's for more and more protein that we require now. Remember that?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just check in to see. Did Bert come back in? Did he get knocked off? No. Okay, carrying on here. Mr. Agnew's unawareness of the function of war in spinning the webs of peace is matched by President Nixon's ignorance of the need for the flexibility of a playful costume and mask as a means of putting on his public and taking up the leadership role. So Nixon has to, McLuhan says elsewhere, grow sideburns, maybe a mustache, to become a role player as president. And Agnew is unaware of media dynamics, like the way Nixon is unaware. So he says, Mr. Agnew's unawareness of the function of war in spinning the webs of peace is matched by President Nixon's ignorance of the need for the flexibility of a playful costume and mask as a means of putting on his public and taking up the leadership role. Next paragraph. What the Spiro Agnew intervention has revealed is the scope and scale of ignorance of both old and new media as they enter into the business and the government processes. In the age of permissiveness, the art of being ruled, that was the title of a Wyndham Lewis book in the 20s, in the age of permissiveness, the art of being ruled has been as completely neglected as has an understanding of the means needed to rule in the electric age. Do that again. What the Spiro Agnew intervention has revealed is the scope and scale of ignorance of both old and new media as they enter into the business and the government processes. In the age of permissiveness, the art of being ruled has been as completely neglected as has an understanding of the means needed to rule in the electric age. That would be McLuhan's media ecology. Then McLuhan says, far more violent than guns or bombs are the electric media, which invisibly violate all boundaries, psychic and civil, private and corporate. The Milton Eisenhower Commission on Violence totally ignores the causes and functions of violence as necessary to the making and maintenance of both private and corporate identity. You want to have a corporate identity, Madeline, you got to have violence to forge your image. That make sense? I think so.
No.
Sense enough. I knew it would make sense for you, but...
Well...
How will he make it sense? What part don't you get? Okay, so you don't see the ecology. The hardware machines are interfacing with the software machines to make a global ecology. Everything in its place, perfectly interacting. He says, private and corp... The Milton Eisenhower Commission on Violence totally ignores the causes and functions of violence as necessary to the making and maintenance of both private and corporate identity. When you got people going through rapid changes we have today, shocking changes, they're going to get violent because they cannot create a verbal statement in their mind that they can rest their head on. They just got old cliches
so
and they don't work.
The people are going to get violent.
Yeah.
Okay, not the It sounds like they were he was saying that the corporate, like, or you said that you've got to use violence to forge your corporate identity.
Yes. All identity is an act of violence. Making identity, corporate or private, is a violent act.
So I need a definition of violent, then.
Painful circumstances, broken bones, toots, what's that called? Retoots? Toots syndrome. What do they call that? Tourette's. Tourette's syndrome. Yeah, one more people got Tourette's syndrome. Okay, so let's see if we got more explanations here. Maybe one of them will click for you, Madeline. The Commission on Violence, the Milton Eisenhower Commission on Violence, totally ignores the causes and functions of violence as necessary to the making and maintenance of both private and corporate identity.
Well, I guess it's like a it's an us versus them thing, like where your identity is forged in opposition to something else. That would be violent. Is that what he's talking about?
Okay, do that again.
If you only establish your identity in opposition to something else, like self and other,
yeah,
then that would be violent.
Yes.
Is that? Okay.
Yeah, that would lead to violence. That is a violent act. You know many people through the years neurotically fighting the issues, mad as hell at the world, and none of it ever really changing much. Right? There's lots of them in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Change agents. Next paragraph. It doesn't matter whether our psychologists or sociologists have the least inkling about such matters. Media dynamics alter our percepts while our concepts run interference. We live in an age of extreme and multifarious violence precisely because we have succeeded in introducing a rapid succession of new environments via technological innovations. Read that again. It doesn't matter whether our psychologists or sociologists have the least inkling about such matters. Media dynamics alter our percepts while our concepts run interference. We live in an age of extreme and multifarious violence precisely because we have succeeded in introducing a rapid succession of new environments via technological innovations. Humans have never had to live under such.
Yeah, so it's like every time there's a new environment, you have to come up with a new identity, so it's a new violence
yeah.
every time. Yeah, okay.
Or you try to retrieve an old identity that's been scrapped
yeah.
by technology.
Yeah.
So you're very intense, like acting like your father, as I understood he acted, right? Your father is a constant identity crisis.
Oh, I don't know about that.
okay.
I'm just sort of seeing how you're constantly trying to find your place, buttressing,
yes.
yeah.
The disruption in people's lives the last 40 years since the 70s is new technologies coming in and all these unforeseen effects and then not needing flesh to even work in the factories. McLuhan called it the buzzsaw of technology in the United States. You know what a buzzsaw is?
I do, but it's just sinking in how my dad fits into that. It took me a minute. I'm like, oh, yeah, yep.
Well, that's good. You forgot what was common experience a couple of years ago.
It's more just recontextualizing it.
Okay.
I didn't forget, but...
Right. The next paragraph. The process of growing up from the first instant of birth is a perivalli. Paravallo, Italian word, or complete surround. It means surrounding or environment. So the process of growing up from the first instant of birth is a paravalli, or complete surround of violent aggressions. The world is fired at us point blank. Every new technology opens Pandora's box, creating a new world environment. In the act of enclosing its predecessors, the new surround erodes and retires them. I'll read that again. The process of growing up from the first instant of birth. The process of growing up from the first instant of birth is a surround or parallel or environment or complete surround of violent aggressions. The world is fired at us point blank. Every new technology opens Pandora's box, creating a new world environment. Creating a new world environment. In the act of enclosing its predecessors, the new surround erodes and retires them. Retires the predecessors. Let me just see that. Yeah, that must have been it. Okay, the third paragraph. Separate paragraph. The telephone and teletype, which are now destroying business as well as government bureaucracies, eroded the postal system by its fierce new rim spin and completely altered the psychic life of the nation. Meantime, the satellite boosters enabled the telephone service to be stepped up to a self-liquidating speed, which the brass of AT&T has ignored as successfully as the most insignificant citizen. So reading that again, the telephone and teletype, which are now destroying business as well as government bureaucracies, eroded the postal system by its fierce new rim spin and completely altered the psychic life of the nation. Meantime, the satellite boosters enabled the telephone service to be stepped up to a self-liquidating speed, which is the brass of AT&T, and which brass AT&T has ignored as successfully as possible the disruption of the American citizen's life. Any comment, Madeline?
Nope.
Okay, so...
except that I enjoyed the image of the world being fired at us point blank.
Yes. I'm just sorting the papers here. Okay, the next page. Okay, page 7. Small, and this is a quote, small and unelected elites, that's in quotes, small and unelected elites are as helpless to manage news, business, or politics as is the silent majority. Their levels of unawareness puts them all on an equal plane. So he's saying the editors of these newspapers and television shows are non-compos mento. They're not sources of interesting ideas. It's almost because McLuhan is so right and so accepted that he's only bandied about in highfalutin, respectable places. You get that, Madeline? I have to go over and see if she's on mute. No? Should be there. Anyways, I'm just going to go forward here. Next paragraph on page 7. The universal habit of ignoring the power of innovation itself to alter all patterns of human perception seems to be part of the Western world's lack of interest in process as such. Plato was quite aware that the slightest change in a national musical style would necessarily, by resonance, alter and reconfigure the entire political life and outlook of a society. Why then should we, as the most innovative of all societies, be not the least curious about how to anticipate the changes which follow from our own innovations? reading that again. The universal habit of ignoring the power of innovation itself to alter all patterns in human perception seems to be part of the Western world's lack of interest in process as such. Plato was quite aware that the slightest change in a national musical style would necessarily, by resonance, alter and reconfigure the entire political life and outlook of a society. Why, then, should we, as the most innovative of all societies, be not the least curious about how to anticipate the changes which follow from our own innovations? Next paragraph. Since change itself has become the staple of our existence, it would seem natural that we should be deep students of the fabulous phoenix and its ways of alteration and renewal. Now, that's an inside joke, because the phoenix is a major image in Finnegan's Wake. So he's saying we should be deep students of the fabulous phoenix and its ways of alternation and renewal. On the contrary, it would be difficult to find examples of studies made in time to anticipate the changes that would inevitably surround the psychic and social life of the communities with the advent of rail or wire. So he's saying that changes come so fast and furious that people are going to become pretty apathetic. At first, they're kind of interested in trying to do something, but in the latter part, they are what? They are can't focus. They are lost and bereft. Reading that again. Since change itself has become the staple of our existence, it would seem natural that we should be deep students of the fabulous phoenix and its ways of alteration and renewal. On the contrary, it would be difficult to find examples of studies made in time to anticipate the changes that would inevitably surround the psychic and social life of the communities with the advent of rail or wire. Commercial speculators make a few quantitative estimates of the new material needs and possibilities of the operation. AT&T is conscious of stretching cables across the nation and interrelating the extended nervous system of the entire population. Just what effect this might have on the inner life of the population has never been explored. And she's asking that rhetorically and not expecting much response, I guess. Just a second, I want to check the pages. Okay, the next thing. American lawyers and legislators are not curious about the extent to which their entire establishment is still based upon the Gutenberg technology that has now been overlaid by antithetic electrotechnical forms. The unique American political and educational and commercial arrangements based on analytic fragmentation cannot possibly be unmodified by the new rim spin of electric circuitry. Representative government, based on the most elementary forms of travel, cannot remain unchanged by photographic and TV images that daily invade the sensory and imaginative lives of the entire population. I think I'll read that again. American lawyers and legislators are not curious about the extent to which their entire establishment is still based upon the Gutenberg technology that has now been overlaid by antithetic electrotechnical forms. The unique American political and educational and commercial arrangements based on analytic fragmentation cannot possibly be unmodified by the new rim spin of electric circuitry. Representative government based on the most elementary forms of travel cannot remain unchanged by photographic and TV images that daily invade the sensory and imaginative lives of the entire population. Well, I remember Bert used to leave around 7:30, so he probably had to go. Now, Madeline, are you there? No, not yet. Next paragraph.
Bob, I can't really participate much. I'm sorry, my environment is too chaotic right now.
Well, how is it chaotic? You got other people there? Noisemakers?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not coming through too bad. You can come on every now and then. It's quite quiet. Okay, put quite simply...
That's because I'm speaking to you from the toilet.
Oh, you have to leave, I see. I'm sorry. Sorry you have to do this, but you just stay there. You stay in the bathroom there, Madeline. Give me some feedback. Put quite simply, 20th century America has taken all the necessary steps for abolishing the American way of life. This is the mess age of our most advanced means of information processing. We have turned off civilization and pushed the tribal programming button. Then there's a statement from a sophisticated magazine. The 20s thrilled to the yellow peril and the Japanese Sandman. The 20s thrilled to the yellow peril and the Japanese Sandman. McCune writes, the electric button, and this is me quotes, the electric button for reprogramming our private and individualist world according to the patterns of total communal involvement was very definitely pushed in the age of radio. Reading that again. The 1920s thrilled to the yellow peril and the Japanese Sandman. The electric button for reprogramming our private and individualist world according to the patterns total communal... Sorry. The electric button for reprogramming our private and individualist world according to the patterns of total communal involvement. This button was very definitely pushed in the age of radio. It was very definitely pushed in the age of radio. Next paragraph. All the musical and social forms of the jazz age were adopted around the globe from Toronto to Berlin and remain the basis of rock and roll hippie costumes in the TV age. I will correct that. All the musical and social forms of the jazz age were adopted around the globe from Tokyo to Berlin and remain the basis of rock and hippie culture in the TV age. What do you think of that, Mark? That's fighting words for you, Mark? Is Mark even there? Okay. On to the next one. The hippie not only accepts the motorcycle cop, but imitates him. No pig he, says the hippie. The motorcycle cop is not a pig. If our police wish to become acceptable members of the junior TV establishment, they have only to introduce imaginative and flamboyant costuming to indicate that they are role players. End of bracket, and not mere job holders. The hippie not only accepts the motorcycle cop, but imitates him. No pig he, in quotes. If our police wish to become acceptable members of the junior TV establishment, they have only to introduce imaginative and flamboyant costuming to indicate that they are role players and not mere job holders. So you have the art celebration down at Queen Street every September. And he's saying, hey, you can find out about us if you drop your conceptions of what goes on in a bar. You'll find all kinds of interesting human gatherings.
Where'd you go, Bob?
Sorry, I had to do something. Okay, I'm back. Next paragraph. It is natural for a TV child to regard a man in uniform with aversion. The same uniform worn in a backward tribal society is an exotic costume. Backward in quotes. It is natural for a TV child to regard a man in uniform with aversion. They don't like uniforms. The same uniform worn in a backward tribal society is an exotic costume. Mr. Agnew's floundering and despairing gestures of reorientation represent unfeigned signals for help. He lives surrounded by bureaucrats and specialists who cannot even imagine how or why to make the few minor adjustments in the president's appearance. Mr. Agnew's floundering and despairing gestures of reorientation represent unfeigned signals for help. He lives surrounded by bureaucrats and specialists who cannot even imagine how or why to make the new, few minor adjustments in the president's appearance that would transform into a national doll, D-O-L-L, in quotes. Next paragraph. The private face and dress has to be banished in favor of the corporate mask in all levels of public life. But this is not a matter of saving the appearances. It is literally a matter of making the news by creating a new image, a new mask, and a new vortex of power. They're offering McLuhan new riches and wealth here. Mr. Agnew's complaint, says Marshall, about the bias of the news reporters proclaims a complete unawareness of the nature of both the news and media, and of both their forms and their functions. Reading that again. Mr. Agnew's complaints about the bias of the news reporters. Mr. Agnew's complaint about the bias of the news reporter proclaims a complete unawareness of the nature of both news and media, and therefore, and of Agnew's complaints about the bias of the news reporters proclaims a complete unawareness of the nature of both news and media, and of both their forms and their functions. Page 10. Mr. Agnew seems to, the whole thing seems to be attacking Agnew. Mr. Agnew seems to think of news as something that ideally matches what's going on. He may be beginning to recognize that news is what is going on. Get that, Brian? Or, who is it, Daniel? Forget your name. The nature of news gets some illumination from the chat among three baseball umpires. First umpire. Well, I call him as I see him. The second fireman says, I call him to the mayor. I call them, first guy goes, well, I call him as I see them. Second guy, I call them as they are. Third guy, until I call them, they ain't. So it is with the news. News is putting on the audience with all its favorite patterns and expectations. That would be your cliches, Madeline. It is a complex dramatic art form that repeats and smears and scrubs and purges the special sector of events and passions that a particular community finds congenial. I don't know if I can keep reading this repetition way. How much time left? 8:34. Well, we might have time. We have to end this hour. Okay. Here's Greg. Greg and Ginny, maybe they want to add something to this. So we're Hi, Ginny. We're reading through a Dewline newsletter.
I've been listening to it. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it's really interesting. I just want to say that we watched the, just briefly last night, we watched the President Obama's address to the Washington Press. You know, they have that correspondence dinner. And so this is kind of, they're kind of timely in light of, you know, he's kind of talking about Agnew being so unaware of his role and also the media. And it's kind of timely after watching that whole shenanigans last night. So enjoying
them. I saw a picture of the black host comedian giving somebody the finger. He actually was quite outrageous. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, Don Lemon, the CNN reporter, gave the guy, whatever his name is, Larry Winslow or whatever, the finger for his comments that he made about him,
Oh, so Don Lemon is a black guy. I saw a black
guy. Don Lemon is a black guy. He's a evening headliner for CNN and can take himself super seriously. But this guy, the black comedian, made several comments about him and many others. And he gave him, Larry Wilmore is the guy's name, he gave him the finger. And I think it was his presentation, I don't know, I didn't really care for it, but, you know, those guys didn't appreciate it at all, for sure.
Yeah, nobody appreciated the comedian.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
I'm going to reread what I read. Don't know if I got it out properly. Mr. Agnew seems to think of news as something that ideally matches what's going on, so he doesn't understand it's a making phenomenon. He may be beginning to recognize that news is what is going on. what's going on is the news. The nature of news gets some illumination from the chat among three baseball umpires. First one, well, I call them as I see them. Second one, I call them as they are. The third one, until I call them, they ain't. Yeah, that's the power of the word, right? You got to say it,
correct,
to make it. So it is with the news. News is putting on the audience with all its favorite patterns and expectations. It is a complex, dramatic art form that repeats and smears and scrubs and purges a special sector of events and passions that a particular community finds congenial. Next paragraph. News is a massive collective preference. News is a fragment of what people choose to allow to be staged out of innumerable actions and motivations that are actually current and available. News creates and massages special publics. Reading that again, news is a massive collective preference. News is a fragment of what people choose to allow to be staged out of innumerable actions and motivations that are actually current and available. News creates and massages special publics. Next paragraph. Spiro Agnew has discovered that news is not and never has been a full and free disclosure of realities that are independent of the news media. This is the stage at which news can become fun like any carefully contrived fiction. Mr. Agnew has really made the news by paying attention to it, made the news in quotes. By the same token, there can be fun for all when we begin to discover the names of the games that are always going on around us. Incidentally, it is a discovery that causes the players to smarten up. The same matching mentality exists in the cybernation areas of science and technology. The yes and no bits that are introduced as programming for these instruments are thought of as merely traveling more rapidly and with less noise or fuss than they would travel in other media. Apart from the speed up, the specialist programs and goals of the computer world are expected to remain the same. The computer is an aid, like a bike or a car. So he's saying this idea that the computer is an aid is a delusion, because the computer will change the world. How many pages I got to do here? 16. Okay.
Bob, can I ask a question about that last bit?
Yes.
Did he say that Agnew makes the news because Agnew pays attention to it?
No. The news is the constant coverage of the community in action. And that's what's going on. And that's what reality is. Reality is not something out there that Agnew wants people to match with, to obey.
Right. So Agnew is aware that he's creating it?
No, Agnew does not know. He's saying that Agnew is starting to discover a few things because of the scandalous argument he got in with the media. But he doesn't have full McLuhan-esque awareness. So he says, Spiro Agnew has discovered that news is not and never has been a full and free disclosure of realities that are independent of the news media. This is a stage at which news can become fun like any carefully contrived fiction. Mr. Agnew has really made the news by paying attention to it. By the same token, there can be fun for all when we begin to discover the names of the games that are always going on around us. Incidentally, it is a discovery that causes the players to smarten up.
So hang on, Bob. He did say that. Agnew has made the news by paying attention to it. So
yes,
go ahead.
Not by paying attention, by just talking and arguing with it. He's not paying attention to the process. He's engaging the news and criticizing.
The content of it, right?
Yeah.
So because he's engaging it on that content level, he's always in the news.
Yes. And he made the news. That means he makes up the news. Made means to create, as well as the slang meaning, which is like he arrived and was absorbed into the news cycle.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Next paragraph. The same matching mentality exists in the cybernation areas of science and technology. The yes and no bits that are introduced as programming for these instruments are thought of as merely traveling more rapidly and with less noise or fuss than they would travel in other media. Apart from this speed up, the specialist programs and goals of the computer world are expected to remain the same. The computer is an aid, like a bike or car. But he actually means it's an environment. He doesn't really like it being noticed just as an aid.
Well, it's Agnew who sees it as an aid, which is the flawed
right.
perspective, and McLuhan sees it as an environment.
Right, and he calls the environment, he takes the word aid and italicizes it. The computer is an aid, a shaping environment, like a bike or car, you know? He italicizes aid. Spiro doesn't italicize the aid. Okay, we go to, what's... Page 11. The fact is that when a material hardware object moves at very high speeds, it acquires and imparts a special new character. This fact applies with much greater force to the information that may shape countless decisions around the globe within seconds. A material object at high speed may be a bullet. The bit of news at high speed may put a period to a whole culture. Then he quotes, "The hand that signed the paper felled the city." Then he says, "The finger that triggers a camera may end an era." Rereading this paragraph. The fact is that when a material hardware object moves at very high speeds, it acquires and imparts a special new character. This fact applies with much greater force to the information that may shape countless decisions around the globe within seconds. So this fact applies with much greater force to the information objects that may shape countless decisions around the globe within seconds. A material object at high speed may be a bullet. The bit of news at high speed may put a period to a whole culture. In other words, scrap the whole culture. The hand that signed the paper felled the city. The finger that triggers a camera may end an era. When I was citing this Freedom of Information documents about Nixon almost bombing North Vietnam in October 69, when Cosby Awareness was talking about the tension in America, what's the next part I was going to say? I forget. Something about the bit of news at high speed may put a period to a whole culture. The hand that signed the paper felled the city. The finger that triggers a camera may end an era. Not sure what I was going to add to that. With the electric speed of information movement, a dramatic change occurs. What had formerly been audience becomes actor. So the audience becomes an actor. This simple shift of role and function gives to all the silent and apathetic majority of any state a subversive, terrifying potential that calls into play all the resources of espionage and data banking. That would be the subcultures that Ian was talking about. With the electric speed of information movement, a dramatic change occurs. What had formerly been audience becomes actor. This simple shift of role and function gives to all the silent and apathetic majority of any state a subversive, terrifying potential that calls into play all the resources of espionage and data banking, or data banking. Next paragraph. The simple shift of satellites to their position around the planet transforms the Earth into a stage and calls every individual out to do his thing. Do his thing, in quotes, with absolute rectitude of conscience and urgency of mandate. See, the satellite makes everybody a fascist, but what they do their thing on. That is to say, the same electric world that now erases the individualist identity image role-playing, for which our organizational structures, political and educational, have no place whatever. Any comment, Madeline? I've got to tell Bill that we're ending at 15 minutes. Probably going to have to continue this next week. Okay. The simple shift of satellites to their position around the planet transforms the Earth into a stage and calls every individual out, quote, to do his thing, unquote, with absolute rectitude of conscience and urgency of mandate. That is to say, the same electric world that now erases the individualist identity image in the population at large releases an overwhelming drive toward participational role-playing for which our organizational structures, literate organizational structures, I would add, political and educational, have no place whatever. They have no place whatever in the electric world. So he says, that is to say, the same electric world that now erases the individualist identity image in the population at large releases an overwhelming drive toward participation and role-playing for which our organizational structures, political and educational, have no place whatever. Next paragraph. Is there no point in citing the fact that our world is mostly directed by groggy bureaucrats who decide to make innovations such as satellite environments without an inkling as to the social and psychic consequences? It is not possible to point directly to a single group of aware 20th century individuals, however small, that is governing a business or a nation. The show is run by 19th century people. Today, when the consequences of innovation are felt almost immediately, it is no longer possible to get by with somnambulist minds as leaders and directors of whole populations. These somnambulist minds become the leaders. The West has no monopoly of ignorance. The Far East and the Near East, the Chinese and the Russians, are as ignorant of the effects of new technology as the brass of NASA or any august group. It is no longer necessary to assume bad will as operative in the world when there is such massive numbed indifference to the obvious meaning of present revolutionary technology in the magnetic city, another term for the Gutenberg galaxy. No, for the global theater, the magnetic city. At Helsinki, the Russians recently were reported to be satisfied that America was on so certain a disaster course that it was unnecessary for any further Russian intervention in deflecting the American way of life. In the Near East, the use of radio and tribally exasperating devices to arrange the affairs of tribal Israeli and tribal Egyptians alike bespeak irresponsible ignorance, whose effects surpass the utmost strategy of human malignity. That's just Marshall taking advantage to nail the Middle East conflict. He would say, nobody knows how radio caused it, transistor radio. Feel like reading that again. Is there no point in citing the fact, is what he's asking about bureaucrats, is there no point in citing the fact that our world is mostly directed by groggy bureaucrats who decide to make innovations such as satellite environments without an inkling as to the social and psychic consequences? It's not possible to point directly to a single group of aware 20th century individuals, however small, that is governing a business or a nation. The show is run by 19th century people. Today, when the consequences of innovation are felt almost immediately, it is no longer possible to get by with somnambulist minds as leaders and directors of whole populations. The West has no monopoly of ignorance. The Far East and the Near East, the Chinese and the Russians, are as ignorant of the effects of new technology as the brass of NASA or any august group. It is no longer necessary to assume bad will as... What is this? To assume bad will as operative. Yeah. It is no longer necessary to assume bad will as operative in the world when there is such massive numbed indifference to the obvious meaning of present revolutionary technology in the magnetic city. So Moses Neimer is a bit nervous. He runs City TV and the music network. A bit nervous about this statement. It is no longer necessary to assume bad will as operative in the world when there is such massive numbed indifference to the obvious meaning of present revolutionary technological... It is no longer necessary to assume bad will as operative in the world when there is such massive numbed indifference to the obvious meaning of present revolutionary technology in the magnetic city. Magnetic city in quotes. What do you think, Carol?
Bob?
Yes, go ahead.
I take that statement to mean that there's no need to assume in some kind of like reptilian mind conspiracy because it's just the android meme gone amok that's really what's terrorizing people. Is that
yes.
A more accurate? Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yeah, and McLuhan's saying this 50 years ago. It's obvious now, right?
Right. So, right. Well, it's obvious to us because we have you to help delineate all this. I mean, I don't think it's obvious to anybody who doesn't understand, ion them in the chart. Anyway.
I have a question on that point because McLuhan said that there is no group, however small and august, that's aware of the consequences. But, Bob, were there not? What about the Tetrad managers? Didn't somebody know?
And yes, the CIA knew. But, no, here's the thing.
Okay.
He's saying that there's no group of aware people who are governing a business or a nation. There's none in management. The show is run, the management is run by 19th century people, not 20th century people. And that's what's in Putney Swope. The guy, he's running an ad agency and he steals $8 million and takes off. Right? He gives up. I don't think any aware group of people would take over and put up with the ignorance that they deal with. Wouldn't work.
So he takes the $8 million and runs off because he doesn't know how to put the $8 million to use
in the ad
agency. Under the conditions.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
He's just fed up with the because there's a lot of rioting and violence going on as the movie unfolds in a humorous way. So the bottom paragraph at Helsinki. I don't think I read this part. At Helsinki, the Russians recently were reported to be satisfied that America was on so certain a disaster course that it was unnecessary for any further Russian intervention in deflecting the American way of life. In the Near East, the use of radio and tribally exasperating devices to arrange the affairs of tribal Israeli and tribal Egyptians alike bespeak irresponsible ignorance, whose effects surpass the utmost strategy of human malignity. Let me read that again. At Helsinki, the Russians recently were reported to be satisfied that America was on so certain a disaster course that it was unnecessary for any further Russian intervention in deflecting the American way of life. KGB was obsolete. In the Near East, the use of radio and tribally exasperating devices to arrange the affairs of tribal Israeli and tribal Egyptians alike bespeak irresponsible ignorance, whose effects surpass the utmost strategy of human malignity. There's so much ignorance in ignoring what's going on that even Hitler looks mild compared to the denial of what's happening. You know, the utmost strategy of human malignity or evil, in quotes. Next one. Most people will imagine that concepts are important factors in change and stability. And then in big letters, the simple fact is that new technology creates environments that alter our entire perceptual lives. The Greeks got rid of the educational establishment of Homer and also a vast body of traditional social goals and training when their perceptual lives had shifted from the auditory to the visual plane by means of the new technology of the phonetic alphabet. Reference Eric Havelock's Preface to Plato, the book called Preface to Plato. Floods of new concepts ensued upon this change of perceptual pattern, including the concept of the private individual. So, most people will imagine that concepts, and that's italicized, are important factors in change and stability. Nope. The simple fact is that new technology creates environments that alter our entire, not conceptualize, our perceptual lives. The Greeks got rid of the educational establishment of Homer and also a vast body of traditional social goals and training when their perceptual lives had shifted from the auditory to the visual plane by means of the new technology of the phonetic alphabet. See Eric Havelock's Preface to Plato. Floods of new concepts ensued upon this change of perceptual pattern, including the concept of the private individual. Then he cites Life magazine, November 28, 1969, page 35. So he says, now let us... McLuhan says, now, let us consider a typical passage from Agnew's approach to his world and its problems. So, this is a quote from Spiro Agnew. Now, I understand very well that many thoughtful people believe that the knottier social problems of our time could never have been solved without dramatic demonstration to trigger the public conscience. I cannot agree with this concept because the entire history of social and economic change in this country is evidence of a steady improvement since the turn of the century. It's true that the rate of progress has increased in recent years, but even conceding that demonstration has been But even conceding that demonstration has been somewhat of a factor, frightening forces have been set in motion as the public has become conditioned to precipitate action rather than quiet discussion. The annotated decision of the more extreme anti-war groups to continue and to escalate their disruptive activities proves this. He thought the war was going to be over. Far from it. Okay, I'll read that again. This is Agnew, November 28, 1969. This is an example of Agnew's approach to his world and its problems. Now, I understand very well that many thoughtful people believe that the knottier social problems of our time could never have been solved without dramatic demonstration to trigger the public conscience. I cannot agree with this concept, because the entire history of the social and economic change in this country is evidence of a steady improvement since the turn of the century. It is true that the rate of progress has increased in recent years, but even conceding that demonstration has been somewhat of a factor, and get this, but even conceding that demonstration has been somewhat of a factor, frightening forces have been set in motion as the public has become conditioned to precipitate action rather than quiet discussion. The announced decision of the more extreme anti-war groups to continue and to escalate their disruptive activities proves this. Now, they never, Agnew didn't invite people into, he's saying he's going to invite people in, but I don't know of any meetings that he had. And says, McLuhan says, it doesn't matter whether Agnew himself or an agency or a committee assembled these phrases. What I just read he was saying, doesn't matter that they, what quality of people did it, because they screwed up in what they said. They add up to a flight of wooden bumblebees and represent a total failure to get in touch with any aspect of the 20th century. That's McLuhan's appraisal of these guys. Doesn't matter whether Agnew himself or an agency or a committee assembled these phrases. They add up to a flight of wooden bumblebees and represent a total failure to get in touch with any aspect of the 20th century. You like that? Am I on? I wonder if I'm disconnected.
I like it. I get it. I heard it.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Good. You prove I'm on. So we're ending in a second, so we'll have to continue next week. But it sounds
okay,
like
Bob.
It's interesting enough to do. So thanks for showing up, Ginny. We'll see you on Monday.
Excellent.
Bruce Fowler on trombone. Napoleon Murphy Brock on tenor sax and lead vocals. Terry Bozio on drums. Tom Fowler on bass. Denny Wally on slide. George Luke on keyboards. Captain Beefheart on vocals and soprano sax and madness. Thank you very much for coming to the concert tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. Good night, Austin, Texas, wherever you are.